Good morning. Today's daf is Bava Masiah daf Tei. We left off halfway down the Yamadan Ayin Tesamud Beis. So today's shiur is going to focus on a couple of different topics. First of all, we're going to continue with the discussion of the previous Mishnah, in which we discussed what happens if you rent a chamor for a specific purpose and then you go ahead and use it for a different purpose. So we'll talk about first what amount of provisions both the person who rents the chamor as well as the driver are allowed to keep on the chamor. If you rented the chamor intending that a man would ride it, is a woman allowed to ride it? What about a pregnant woman? So we'll see that. On Pei Amud Aleph, we're going to have two Mishnayos, both of which are going to talk about what happens if you rent, again, something and use it for another purpose. First, we're going to talk about what happens if you rent a cow to plow in a certain location and then you plow in a different location. What happens if the plow was damaged? Who might be liable? The second Mishnah on Pei Amud Aleph is going to talk about what happens if you hire a chamor for the purpose of transporting a certain type of material. So, for example, you hire it for the purpose of transporting chitin, and instead you transport siorin. What if you load additional items onto the chamor? How much additional do you have to load onto the chamor before you incur liability, etc.? And then on Pei Amud Beis, the Mishnah in the middle of the page is going to start talking about the status of various workers and whether if they accept an item to perform work on it in their house, are they considered to be a Shomer Sachar? At a certain point, are they considered to be a Shomer Chinam? And various halachas of Shmira that are applicable both to workers and to people who agree to a reciprocal relationship in watching something. One guy says, Reuben says, if you watch something for me, then I'll watch something to you. So both Reuben and Shimon are watching something for each other. So we'll see that in the Mishnah on Pei Amud Beis. So again, we left off Ayin Tes Amud Beis halfway down the page. Tana Rabbanan is the first word, or the first words on the line. So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Asur Chasachamor Lirkovalea, if a person hires a chamor, if a person rents a chamor for the purpose of riding on it, then socher, then the one who rents it, meniach alei ksuso v'lagnuso, the socher can put on the chamor, can load onto the chamor clothing, his flask, umizonos, and foods, in other words, provisions, shall also aderech, as much as he needs for that journey. Vikan veilech, if he wants to transport more than the clothing and the food and drink he'll need for that journey, chamor ma'akev alav, then the donkey driver can be ma'akev. The donkey driver could say, excuse me, we have a certain amount of luggage space on this chamor. I need space as well. So you are not entitled to bring any more than the amount of provisions, basic necessities, food, water, clothing, food, water, and clothing that you need for the journey. Now, chamor maniach alav sorin v'tevin umizono shel oso ayom. The chamor, the donkey driver can bring on the chamor sorin v'tevin, you know, straw and barley, which is food for the chamor and something for the chamor to lie down on. Umizono shel oso ayom, and enough food for himself for that day. Mikan ve'elech socher ma'akev alav. But if the donkey driver wants to bring more then simply provisions for the chamor and for himself for a single day, then the socher can be ma'akev. Then the person who rents the chamor can be ma'akev and say, excuse me, we have only a certain amount of luggage space. You can't bring more than that. So says the Gemara, this is a little inequitable because, hey, chadami, what exactly is the situation here? If it is possible to buy things every day. So what did we said? We had said that the socher can bring clothing and food and drink for the entire journey. But why could he bring for the entire journey? If you could find new things to buy every day, then chamor nami liyakev. Then the chamor should also prevent the socher from bringing more than is needed for that specific day, because any more than that's needed for that specific day, the chamor could tell the socher, go buy it the next day. But on the other hand, if we're not going to find anything to buy, then socher nami lo lakev. Then why had we said that the chamor, that the donkey driver is only allowed to bring Teven and Seorin and Mizonos for that day, if you're not going to be able to find things to buy on a daily basis, why can the Chamer only bring for one day? That's not fair. He needs for the entire journey. So the dichotomy between the Chamer and the Socher doesn't make sense. The Gemara's question is they should all be treated equally. They should be treated, they should all be subject to the same restriction. Says the Gemara, that you can search, and if you search, if you exert yourself, you might be able to find provisions to buy from inn to inn, meaning on a daily basis. Now, in that case, why do we force the Chamer to search, and why don't we force the Socher to search? So Chamer, darkei lemitrach ulemizban, because the Chamer, it's his derech to search for food and to buy food every day. Therefore, we allow the fellow only to bring enough provisions for a day. But socher lav darkei lemitrach ulemizban. But the socher is not his derech to go scrounge for food, and therefore we're not going to force him to do so. Rather, he is allowed to bring enough food for the entire journey. Okay, so says the Gemara, finishing up the discussion of the prior Mishnah. If a person rents a chamar for the purpose of a man riding on the chamar, then a woman is not allowed to ride on the chamar. Why is a woman not allowed to ride on the chamar? The Ritva says that because a woman is going to be heavier on the chamar. So why does the Ritva make that comment? Why does he assume that a woman is heavier than a man? So he says because women don't know how to adjust themselves properly on the chamor, and it's all a function of weight distribution. It's not a function of absolute weight. It's a function of, do you know how to distribute your weight evenly on the chamor? And therefore, a man is going to feel lighter than on the chamor than a woman. Okay, now the Rishonim are medallion over here. What happens if ultimately you do rent a chamor intending that a man is going to ride on it, and then a woman rides on it, and then the chamor dies? So can the owner of the chamor say that the chamor died only on account of the fact that a woman rode on it instead of a man, and can they hold the woman accountable? So some say yes, because you went against the rental agreement. You stipulated that a man would ride on it instead a woman rode on it. Others would say no, because this is not like the situation where the stipulation is that you hire the chamor to walk in the valley and then it walks in the mountain, or vice versa. That's where you're introducing the chamor to an environment that it's not used to. Over here, the marginal difference in weight between a man and a woman is not really going to cause enough of a noticeable difference, and therefore the assumption could be, some Rishonim say, that even though it was agreed that a man would ride on it, he would have rented out the chamar even had he thought that a woman was going to ride on it, and therefore it's fine. But anyway, the basic halacha, forgetting about ultimate liability, the basic halacha is if you hire a chamar for the purpose of a man riding on it, a woman is not allowed to ride on it. Isha, if you hire it for the purpose of a woman riding on it, rochev aleha ish, then a man's allowed to ride on it, v'isha. And when we talk about women, if you rent it for the purpose of a woman riding on it, bing dola, bing tana, whether she be a large woman, a small woman, afilu muberes, even if she's pregnant, fafilu menika, or even if she's nursing. So says the Gemara, hashta menika, amrim muberes miboy. If you're going to tell me that a woman, even when she's nursing, is allowed to sit on the chamor, meaning the woman is there with her baby, so of course the woman, when she's pregnant, is allowed to be on the chamor, because the baby is two people. When she's pregnant, it's only one person. So if you're allowed to go on the chamor with two people, surely you're allowed to go on the chamor only with a pregnant woman. So says the Gemara, Amra Papa Muberes Vihime Nika Kamar. Now the chiddush is that the woman, if you hire the chamor for the purpose of a woman riding on it, then the woman who rides on it can be even a pregnant and nursing woman. That's the chiddush. So Amar Abaye, so says Abaye, Shmamina. So we see from here the truth of the following parable, which I guess fell out of use. So Benesei Akarse Tikla, according to the size of the belly is the weight of the fish. Just goes to show you that when the woman is pregnant, we sort of count that weight against the weight that she's allowed to bring on the chamar. And the chiddush is that even though she's pregnant, she's allowed to go on the chamar. So according to the size of the belly is the weight of the fish. So lamai nafkamina, what is it? What in the world do we do with this statement? So lemekachu memkar. So the nafkamina is lemekachu memkar. What does that mean? So says Rashi, the emreisa dog shekreisa gadol. If you see a very fat fish, lo tikneu b'mishkol el imkein yotzi es meyav. that you shouldn't buy it by weight. Usually they would sell fish by weight. You should not buy this fish by weight until after they extract the intestines. Why? Because according to the size of the belly is the weight of the fish. And when you buy the fish by weight, you're buying it by weight because you're anticipating that that's the amount of fish meat that you're going to have. However, if you see a fat fish, you can assume that most of the weight is in the belly, and that's all the intestines which is going to be thrown out. It's not fit for eating. Okay, so says the next Mishnah as follows. Top of Peyamid Aleph. Sasokar sapara lachrosh bahar. If a person rents out a para to plow on the mountain, so v'charash babika, and then instead he plows in the valley. So Rashi first introduces the case as follows. So what's the case? The guy rents a cow to plow on the mountain. Now you plow, obviously, with a cow pulling a plow, and there have to be people walking with the cow and the plow in order to make sure that the cow was plowing properly. So what are we talking about? Or are we talking where the guy rented only the cow, where the guy rented the cow and the plow, where the guy rented the cow, the plow, and the workers? So Rashi clues us in. So Rashi says, "Asokros apara blachrosh v'kol kliya machresha labal habakar." That all of the plowing implements also belong to the owner of the cow, Vinarav, and the owner's own helpers, Holchen in Behemto, are walking with his animal. One of them is holding the cow itself to guide the cow on the right path. And the second one is walking behind the plow, umachbid hayachad bekarka, hayesed bekarka, and he's putting weight on the peg of the plow into the ground. Shebo abarzel shkurin kolteru belaz. It's called a kolter in laz, and we'll use that word in a minute. Vu kankan demas nisan, and that's the word kankan, which is mentioned in the Mishnah. So again, we're talking about a case where a guy rents a cow, the plow, and the fellows to walk alongside the cow and the plow, one to guide the cow, and the other to put his weight on the plow to make sure that the blades of the plow go down into the ground. So he hired it to plow in the mountain, and in the end he plows in the valley. So imnishbara kankan, if the coulter breaks, the coulter is the piece of the plow again that goes into the ground, then potter, then he's going to be potter. Why is he potter? Because the mountainous terrain is rocky. It's very difficult for the plow to penetrate the ground, and therefore it is more likely that if the plow is going to break, it's going to break in the rocky terrain of the mountain more so than it's going to break in the smooth terrain and the soft terrain of the valley. So if you rent it intending that you're going to plow in inhospitable terrain, you're allowed to plow in hospitable terrain of the valley. Bibika, however, if you rent it with the intent that you're going to plow in the valley, v'charash bahar, and then you go on plow in the mountain, now imnishbara kankan chayev, that if the coulter now breaks, you're going to be chayev. Why? Because if you rent the plow, if you rent the animal intending that you're going to plow where the ground is soft, then I don't assume that there's going to be a great risk that the plow is actually going to break. Then when you go to the mountain where the ground is not suitable for plowing, it's very rocky, you're going to be liable for any damage that befalls the plow. So ladush bekitnis, if you hire the cow for the purpose of threshing kitnius, of threshing lentils, vidush betfua, and instead you thresh the tfua, then putter, then you're going to be putter. Why? What are we talking about here? Rashi says we're talking about a case where the animal slips. And also what we need to know is that kitnius are more slippery than tfua. So if you hire the animal to thresh a slippery item, and then you thresh instead with the animal a non-slippery item, and the animal winds up slipping, you're not going to be chayiv, because what you did was less dangerous to the animal than what you hired the animal to do. However, ladush betvua, if you hire the animal to thresh tvua v'dash bekitnis, and then it threshes kitnis instead, and then it slips, then chayiv imnesha kitnis makalachas, because kitnis is more slippery than the tvua. In other words, the basic halacha of the Mishnah, the two cases, if you could sum it up, is that if you hire the animal with the intent that you're going to do a certain thing, and then you do something that's either less dangerous or less likely to cause damage, and damage is caused anyway, you're going to be putter, because the guy assumed you were going to do the dangerous thing. If you hire the animal with the intent of doing the less dangerous thing, and then you do the more dangerous thing, well, then you're going to be chayiv, because you introduced this element of danger to the animal that the owner did not anticipate. Says the Gemara. So, heicha delo shani ba man mishalim. Now, okay, our Mishnah is talking about where you rented the animal intending that you were going to plow it in one location and then you plowed it in a different location. Let's say you did everything by the book. You hire the animal intending that you were going to plow it in the mountain, and you went ahead and you plowed with it in the mountain, and then the coulter breaks, and then the plow breaks. Who's going to be chayiv here? So, man mishalim. So, who pays? So Amar Papa Dinakit Parsha Mishalim, the one who is holding the handle of the yoke of the cow and is guiding the cow, he has to pay, because he's the one who led the cow into the rocky area and caused the plow to break. And Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi Amar Dinakit Mana Mishalim, that the one who is holding the coulter is the one who has to pay, because he's the one who's walking behind the plow, he's exerting his weight onto the plow, and what's causing the plow to sink to penetrate into the ground, and therefore he's the one who should have been careful that he wasn't doing so in very rocky terrain. The Hilchasa Nalocha is the Nakid Mana Mishalim, that the one who is holding the coulter is the one who has to pay. And Rashi says, because what he did was he caused the plow to sink more than necessary, more than appropriate, into the ground. And we can assume that the reason that the coulter broke is because it was too far into the ground, therefore it hit the rock. And therefore it wasn't the fact that the animal was slightly offline that caused the damage, rather the cause of the damage was that it was too far into the ground. Now, v'iduchta de mechazka gunderi, if it's a place where outcrops of stone are very prevalent, then tarvayu mishalmin, then they both have to pay. So why do they both have to pay? So Rashi says, because we're talking about Akesha Yadua Lahem Bahar Shemala Avanim Vitsumna Vitrashim. It was known to them that the terrain was extremely rocky, and therefore Tarvayim Mishalman Shahayalam Lahazir Ma'od, that they should have been extremely careful. Uvidovra Muat Sha'ives Afamaneg Hunishbar Vavidovra Mutabusafik. And therefore it's so rocky, it could be that the plow broke because the guy was pushing it too deep into the ground. It could also be that the plow broke because the plow was the slightest amount offline. And therefore, in that case, both of them should have been very vigilant. Both of them should have been extremely careful. They obviously weren't, because the cow and the plow wound up going offline. Therefore, it's a suffix who was the cause of the damage, and therefore they both have to pay. So Amar Rav Yochanan, says Rav Yochanan Baiter, Hamocher para lechavero, if a person sells a cow to his friend, the Amar lo, and he says, parazu, this cow, what a buy. Nagchanis, it's a nagchan. Nashchanis, it bites. Batonasi, it kicks. Ravtonasi, it causes all sorts of damage. So he basically advertises this cow as a menace to society. Vahayaba mum echad, it did have one of these mumim. It was either a nagchanis, an ashchanis, a ravtonis, a batonis, but the snuffo bein amumin, but he joined that one mum, he included that one mum that the cow actually did have with his laundry list of other mumin, so as to hide it. Now what happened? The buyer observed the cow, and he saw that it wasn't doing at least three out of the four things that the owner claimed it was doing. So he saw people walk by, the animal didn't try to kick, the animal didn't try to bite, the animal didn't try to gore. So he thought that this animal must be a regular cow, but for whatever reason, the owner was trash-talking the cow. So he saw that some of the mumen were not apparent, therefore he went ahead and bought the cow. Harei zeh mekachtos, this is a mekachtos. Why is it a why is it a mekaf toz? And Rashi says, Levishahikar alokeach b'shar mumin she'ino, the lokeach saw that the other mumin didn't exist. Uchsovru b'kula meshaker, and therefore he thought that the owner was lying about the prevalence of all these mumin. Elalahashlech me'alav taromes who amar hilkach mekaf toz who dadai tidachi lo zaven. What he thought was, why was the owner saying that? That the animal had all these issues if it didn't have any of these issues, because he wanted to make sure that the buyer couldn't have any tainus to the owner in the future if it actually did one of these things. And that's why he was advertising it in the least favorable light possible, thought it would never do all these things, and he wanted to prevent the guy from coming to him with taromes. Now, the buyer observed the animal, saw that it didn't have many of these characteristics, assumed that it had none of the characteristics. Therefore, when he buys the animal, it's a mekach toz, because the owner purposely hid the actual mum that it had among all the other mumen. Now, if he says, however, mum zeh, umum acher, if he says, this cow is a nagchanis, and it also has another mum, in that case, ain't a mekachtos, and that's not going to be a mekachtos. And why isn't that a mekach? Why isn't that a mekachtos? So Rashi says, the kivan de osu amum hisker lo levado bo vahaya lo livdok. If a guy tells you that this cow is an ashkhanis, oh, and it also has another mum, the fact that you don't notice anything else apparent that's off about the animal doesn't mean that you should assume that it's also not an ashkhanis. The owner told you specifically, this cow is a ashkhanis, therefore you should have checked it out. If you fail to check it out, it's not a mekachtos, that's your fault. Tani nami hachi, we learn a similar halacha regarding a shifcha. Mocher shifcha lechaveiro. If a person sells a shifcha to his friend, v'yemerlo, and he says to him, shifcha zu, she's a real winner. Shoti, she's nuts. Nichvasi, she's an epileptic. Mishamasi, she's disturbed. V'haya ba mum echad v'snafo bein ha-mumin. She actually had one of these mumin, and he concealed the mum, or he swallowed the mum among the reference to all these other mumin. Then I raise a mekachtos. It's a mekachtos, because if he observed her, if the buyer observed her and saw that she didn't have certain of these traits, then he rightfully assumed that she didn't have any of these traits. However, mum zeh mum acher, ein zeh mekachtos. If he says that she's an epileptic and she has another mum, and he doesn't observe any other mum, he has no right to assume that she's also not an epileptic. He should have done his due diligence, because the owner specifically called out the fact that she was an epileptic, or the fact that she had any one of these mumin. Amr le Ravacha b'rei de Rava lo Ravashi. So it says Ravacha b'rei de Rava to Ravashi. Haya ba kol ha-mumin alalu mahu. Well, what if we're dealing with a real winner who has all of these mumin? In that case, what's the halacha? So Amr le Rav Mordechai lo Ravashi. So hachi amrina meshbei de Rava haya ba kol ha-mumin alalu ein zeh mekachtos. The whole reason why we had said earlier that it's a mekachtos, if you mention all these things, nakhanis, tashkhanis, batanis, rafsanis, is only where the cow has one of those mumin. But you mentioned that mum among all the others to try to swallow it up in the mumin and to try to deflect attention. If, however, the cow actually has all these mumin, you're not doing it consciously to swallow the mum that it has with all the other mumin. You're just advertising this cow as it is. It has all these mumin, and therefore, since all of these mumin were referenced specifically, you should have been on notice. Okay, so says the next mission as follows. If you rent a chamar for the purpose of transporting chitin, and instead you transport seorin, then you're going to be chayev. Then you're going to be chayev. Now, why are you chayev? Rashi says, you are chayev because you have loaded the animal more than is necessary, because seorin are lighter than chitin, Rashi says, and therefore, if the animal has the ability to carry a certain weight in chitin, then that weight in seorin is going to be a larger bulk. It's going to be a larger volume of seorim, and that bulk is going to be harmful to the animal. We'll see, Rashi says, and we'll see in the Gemara, that generally speaking, you are only chayev if you overload an animal, if you load it more than 1/30th of the amount that it's capable of that it's capable of transporting. So that 1/30th is going to come into play as we read the Gemara. So the first case in the Mishnah, again, you hire it for the purpose of transporting, because you increase the amount that the animal is carrying. If you hire it for the purpose of transporting tfua, produce, and instead you transport hay, then you're going to be chayiv. Why? Because the bulk, hay, the bales of hay are larger, they're bigger than the tight packaging of tfua, and the bulk is as difficult for the animal as the weight. And that's why you're chayiv if you misrepresent what the animal is actually going to carry. Lavi lesach chitin, vevi lesach siorin. If, however, you said, I'm going to transport a lesach, a certain measurement of chitin, and instead you transported that measurement of siorin, then you're going to be putter. Why? Because we said siorin is lighter than chitin. So a lesach is a lesach, that's fine. Now, vimosef al maso chayev. However, if you actually add to the weight, then you're going to be chayiv. Akama Yosef al Masoviye chayiv. How much can you add to the weight in order to? How much do you need to add to the weight in order to be chayiv? Sum chazamer mishum rameir saw legamol. It's a saw for a cat for a camel. Shlosha kavin lechamar and 3 kavin for a chamar. So the Gemara is going to explain what all this means. So says the Gemara as follows: Idmar Abaya Omar. Abaya says we had mentioned in the Mishnah that nafach, that bulk, is kasha kamasui. So itmar, abai amar kasha kimasui tanan, that the girsa that we have is that it's as hard as masoi, verava amar kasha limasui tanan. And Rava says that, and Rava says that it's kasha for carrying. So Abaya Amar Kasha Kimasui Tnan, Abaya says that bulk is as difficult as weight, that nafcha ki tikla, that the bulk is like the weight. The emosif shlosha kavin, and if therefore if you add 3 kavin of bulk, then chayav, then you're gonna be chayav. Rava Amar Kasha Limasui Tnan, Rava says that it's kasha limasui, that and therefore tikla ki tikla, that the weight is equivalent, in other words, the weight in chitin is like the weight in seorin, v'nafka have tosefes, and the bulk itself constitutes the tosefes. In other words, according to Rava, even if you don't add any weight at all, the fact that it's the same amount of weight but bulkier, that's considered to be more exerting on the animal, and that could be cause for liability. So tnan, we learn in the Gemara, we learn in a Mishnah as follows: Lavi lesa chitin. Maybe lesach siorin, if you contract the animal to carry a lesach of chitin and instead you carry a lesach of siorin, putter, then you're going to be putter. Vim hosif al maso. However, if you add onto the weight, onto the volume, then chayiv, then you're going to be chayiv. So my lav shloshas kavin, doesn't it mean that you're adding shloshas kavin, that you're adding shloshas kavin onto the animal? So we say lo sa, we're talking about where you, which is like the sheet of Abaya, that you're not chayiv until you add 3 kavin. So we said lo sa, you're only adding a saw. Rashi explains, Vachi kamar lahavi lesachitin vevi lesach siorin potter viafal pishashina, even though you changed up from what you were supposed to do, shareshina lahakel, because what you actually transported is lighter. Now vim hosif adkede mishka lachitin chaya mishum tosefes hanafach. However, if you add more seorin so that you're making the amount of seorin that you're transporting weigh as much as the lesach of chitin, then you're going to be chaya, because again, if seorin weigh less than chitin in order to transport the weight of seorin, the weight of chitin and seorin, you have to add more seorin, and that bulk is going to be as difficult for the animal as weight. So if you add a saw, you're going to be chayiv. Vahaloktani kama Yosef al masovi chayiv sumcha somer mishum rameir saw legamal shloshas kavin lechamar. How can you tell me that you're chayiv if I add only a saw? I thought you told me in the Mishnah that I'm chayiv only if I chamar, if I add 3 kavin. So what was so? How do you make any sense of this? A saw is 6 kavin. So why do you tell me that I'm chayiv only if I add 6? I'm chayiv even if I add 3. Zachi kamar. Heichad lo shani chitin, vehevi chitin, saorin vehevi saorin, that where you didn't deviate from what you were supposed to carry, where you said chitin and you carry chitin, where you said saorin and you transport saorin, kama Yosef al masov yechayev, how much do you need to add onto the donkey in order to be chayev? Simchas amar mishum Rav Meir saw legamal shloshas kavin lechamar that you're not chayev until you add a saw for a gamal and shloshas kavin for the chamar. However, what we were discussing in the middle case of the Mishnah was where you stipulated that you were going to bring chitin and then you bring saorin. So there's really no contradiction at all. So Tashma, so the Gemara says Viter, Lahavi lesa chitin, if you rent the animal for the purpose of bringing a lesa chitin, vehevi lesa vehevi sheshes rei seorin, and you bring 16 of you bring 16 saw of saorin. Now a lesech is 15 saw. So you hire the animal for the purpose of transporting 15 saw, and then you bring 16 saw. Now chayev, and again a saw is 6 kav. Then chayev, then you're going to be chayev. Hoshloshas kav and pater. So it's mashma that you are chayev only if you add 6 kav of weight to the animal's load. But if you add only 3 kav of weight, because 6 kav is a saw, and you're only chayev if you contracted to bring 15 saw and then you bring 16 saw, so you've added 6 kav. But if you added only 3 kav, then you're going to be putter. So hashloshos kav and putter. But that's against the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said that you're chayiv if you add even 3 kav onto the chamor. Says the Gemara, Tir Gemara Abaya b'mechita, that Abaya says we're talking about a leveled load. So what does it mean? A leveled load? So generally, there are three types of loads. One is when it's piled high. One is a normal load, and one is a leveled load. And so we're talking where the 15 saw that you were supposed to carry was 15 saw of a leveled load. But that 15 saw of a leveled load, it was a real solid packed 15 saw. That's really like 15 and a half saw, because had it been a regular load, it would have been 15 and a half. And then when you went ahead and carry 16, effectively the weight that you're adding is only three kav. So he has to interpret the Mishnah that you're not adding 6 kav, you're adding only 3 kav, and you're liable even if you add only 3. Tana Rabbanan, kav lekasef. The amount that you have to add on to the load in order to be chayev, for a porter, it's only if you add 1 kav, you're going to be chayev. Adriv la'ariva. In adriv, you're liable if you add an adriv for a small boat. So adriv, Rashi says, is a lesech. That's the measurement that we've been dealing with until now. So kor l'sfina, if you add a kor, that's a overload for a sfina. Shloshas korin leburni, 3 korin for a burni, for a large ship, for burni gedola. Amar mar kavla kasev, im isa delo matzi be bardasu lishti. Why would you ever be chaya for damage caused to a porter if you overburden the porter? The porter's a human being. The porter knows how much he's able to carry. If the porter senses that you've loaded too much, the guy shouldn't have carried it. He shouldn't have made the attempt. So why are you chayiv? Surah Ravaya Bishachav to La'altar. We're not talking about a case where the guy was able to sit back and make a determination, a calculated decision, can I carry it or not? You gave him a load, you put it on his back, and immediately the guy collapses. He falls down. He didn't have a chance to assess whether he could manage the load and whether we could carry it. Rav Amar Afilu Tema B'Shalochav to La'altar. Even if you want to say that we're not talking about a case where it forced him down immediately, Lo Tzricha Elal Agre Yisera. We're not talking about damages at all. We're not talking about where the guy was damaged. Are you chayev for the damage caused to the porter? We're talking about if you hire the porter to carry a certain load and then you give the porter more than what you stipulated. So you have to pay him extra. You have to pay him extra if you give him a kav or more weight than that which you stipulated. Rav Ashi Amar Husa Bar Chulsha that Rav Ashi says, no, it could be that that we're talking about damages. If the guy's a human being and he's a bar das, why didn't he refrain from carrying the load? Why are you chayiv? So he'll say, listen, sometimes when you lift, it feels heavy. Sometimes it doesn't feel heavy. He'll think, maybe I'm not feeling so well, and that's why it feels heavy, but I could do it. So he thought he could do it, but then in the end he couldn't, and that's why you're going to be chayiv for the damages. So, korl esfina, shloshas korin leburni gdola. So you're chayiv if you add a kor to a sfina, a three korin to a large ship. Amra papa shmamina stam sfinos bas tolsin korin. A stam ship is supposed to have a sufficient cargo hold to carry 30 kor. So how do we know that? Why? Because remember, we had said in the Mishnah that when you add weight, when you add to a load, you are not chayiv until you add more than 1/30th of the load. So if you're chayiv, if you add 3 kor to a sfina, you're not chayiv unless you add 1/30th, so the total cargo hold for the sfina must be 30 kor. And that's why, if you add 3, it is 1/30th and you're going to be chayiv. L'may nafkamina, why do I need to know this? L'mekach l'memkar, because if I buy a ship, I'm buying something that I expect will hold 30 kor. Says the next Mishnah. Kol ha'umnim. So all umnim. So generally speaking, first of all, b'derech hakdama, we remember that a shomer. There are three types of shomrim. There's a shomer chinam, a shomer sachar. We'll leave aside sochar for a second, and a shoel. A shomer chinam is chayev only on pshia. Shomer sachar is chayev even on gneva and aveda, but he's pater from onsin. And a shoel is chayev even in onsin. So the question is now: a kablan who accepts an item into his possession to perform work on that item, he's holding. Reuven is doing work for Shimon. He's holding Shimon's item in his possession. Is he a shomer, and what type of shomer is he? Says the Gemara, kol umnim shomrei sacharein. They're considered to be a shomer sachar. Why? Is he being paid for the shmira? Yeah, he's being paid for the shmira because he's holding Shimon's item and he's doing work on the item, and he's not going to release the item until Shimon pays him for the work that he did. However, anytime the worker finishes the project and he calls the customer, so Reuven calls Shimon and he says, I'm done, come pick it up and go pay me. Then shomer chinam. Then he's a shomer chinam because he indicated that tola shalchav evimos. He indicated that he's willing to first relinquish the item and then take in the payment. So, Shomer Liv Eshmar Lecha, if Reuven and Shimon have an agreement, you watch for me, you watch an item for me, I'll watch an item for you, then Shomer Sachar. Then he's considered to be a Shomer Sachar because they're each, quote, getting paid for the Shmira. How are they getting paid? There's no actual money, but he's getting paid with the fact that the other guy is watching his item for him. Shomer Liv Amarli Hanach Lefanai, if Reuven says to Shimon, Shimon, can you watch his item for me? And Shimon says, yeah, put it in front of me. Then Shomer Chinam, then he's a Shomer Chinam. Halvei Olamash, if he lends him money and takes collateral, so Reuven lends money to Shimon and takes Shimon's collateral, then Shomer Sachar, then he's considered to be a Shomer Sachar because he's benefiting by holding the collateral. So Rav Yudah Amar Alveo Mos, well, it depends. If he loaned him money, then Shomer Chinam, then he's a Shomer Chinam. Alveo Peiro, Shomer Sachar. If he loaned him Peiros, then he's considered to be a Shomer Sachar. Why? Because if you only loan the money, you're not benefiting by holding the collateral. You're only holding security for your loan. However, if you loaned him payros, then you are benefiting. Why are you benefiting? Because payros, the derech of payros is that they rot. So by you lending payros now and being repaid in payros later, you are getting rid of payros, which you might not be able to eat, which otherwise would rot, and you're going to get paid in fresh payros, which would not rot, and therefore you're benefiting. Abashol, Omar Abashol says, Rasho Yodam Lahasher Mashkono, Shalani Lios Posek Vahole Chalab Mneshu Kameshav Aveda. Abishol says that if you lend money to an ani and the ani gives you collateral, the lender is allowed to rent out that collateral and then pay over the rental proceeds to the ani. Why? Because it's like Meshav Aveda. What does it mean that it's like a Meshav Aveda? That means because had you not taken the collateral, had the collateral been in possession of the ani himself would have been able to rent it out and would have made some income off of the item. And therefore, you're effectively giving back to the yoni what's rightfully his. And that's why the lender is allowed to do that. So we'll pick up from the Gemara, God willing, tomorrow.